And we are praying for the ladies over there, but we're praying for the Lord to meet with us in this room. So the Lord gave me this idea that we might, on this Equip series, have people who have children that are or old enough to have children who are out of the house. They may not be out of the house, but they're old enough to be out. And they're not old people by any stretch, but it's just those that are, they don't have toddlers at home. They don't have, even for that matter, they don't even have junior age kids. They're ones that they've seen their children go on out. And so I've asked each of them to teach some things that would be what you'd tell your children, if, and probably things they have in fact told their children, but basically lessons from a father to his son or even to his children. And so as the Lord was working on me about that, I was praying to see who would be good to come in, and Brother Marty was one of the first people that came to my mind. I certainly appreciate him, and he's been a great blessing to me, but he's also been a great blessing to my family since we've been here. And he was, of course, the chairman of deacons through the transition of the church, coming from a pastor and then having an interim pastor and now having me. And so the Lord used him in a special way in those months and years, or years as far as that he was the chairman of deacons. And so the Lord used him greatly, but then the Lord taught him a lot of things too. And so we're so thankful for him, and he gives a great friend and a great deacon and a great person to have around the church, and so we're thankful to him. So with all that being said, I'm going to ask Brother Marty Scroggs. He's going to start off our Equip series. So Brother Marty, come on up, and we're certainly looking forward to that. I've told him just to go till he's done, and that may be here in 20 minutes, maybe in 3 hours and 20 minutes. No, I don't think it'll be that long, but I've asked him just to speak till he's done. Then if we have time afterwards, I may share a few things, but we're just so thankful that he's here with us tonight, and I want you to grab your Bible and grab a pen, and maybe you want to take a few notes or something, but I know there'll be a blessing to you. Brother Mari, thank you so much.
Honestly, I've been excited about it. I know that may surprise some of you, but I've been kind of excited about it. So, because I teach sixth grade boys, I'm just going to teach like I talk to you like I talk to my boys in sixth grade. And I love teaching sixth grade boys. So, as we begin tonight, first off, I think I'll give you an update on Summer. She's doing really well. The Haleys have been a tremendous blessing to her in helping her and explaining what's going on over there, how to be a missionary and the ins and outs, and it's been a great opportunity. Many doors have been opened for her, and so she's doing well, and just excited for what the Lord's doing in her life and how she's and things over there with her. So she's doing well. Okay. So Pastor asked me to teach this lesson on. And he asked me, well, something that you learned or experienced, the Lord showed you or taught you when you were deacon chairman. So I come up with this lesson, and he, like he said, he wanted us to be as far as talking to our kids about it. And Brent's already heard a lot of this stuff, so I just brought out what I've already told him. And I was supposed to go next week, and I was supposed to do some kind of dental work next week. And so Pastor said, well, can you go first? And I said, man, I'd love to go first. I don't want to have to follow up behind Wade Farmer and Paul Pritchard and all those other guys teaching. I'd rather go first. I don't want to be behind them. So I appreciate the opportunity. So anyways, let's pray and we'll get started. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll just help and work in lives. Lord, you know me better than anybody else in here. And Lord, I need you. And Lord, I pray that you'll just bless, that you'll help me make this lesson plain, make it understandable. Lord, there's all kinds of families represented here, these men, and different areas of life and stages of life that they're at. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me to say something that might be a blessing, maybe an encouragement, maybe a help. Lord, just flow through me and help me tonight. Lord, we just be careful to give you the praise and honor and glory for it all. Amen. So I'm going to start off with telling you my testimony, because there's lots of new faces here this 2 or 3 years that have came to our church in the last little bit. And some of you all
know me or know a little bit about me, I'm Tim Tipton's son-in-law, is my biggest claim to fame, Brent's dad, Summer's dad. And I was going to tell you that about who I am and what's brought me to this point. So I go by Marty, but Marty's not even my name. My name's Walter Moore Scruggs III. That's the truth, Pastor, I tell you, that's the truth. So my mom didn't want to call me Walter. My grandfather's Moore, so they call me Marty. But anyways, the family I was raised in was at best a dysfunctional home. And we would go to church sometimes where it wasn't very consistent about it, off again, on again. And I actually went to another denomination, went to a Church of God. And was, like I said, it was just hit or miss, come and go. But I can remember going one morning when I don't remember the date exactly, but I remember the day. And I was 10 or 11 years old, and I knew that I was lost. And I asked Jesus Christ to save me. And I can look back on it, as we look back on our lives, there's milestones and points and things that affected me. And every Christian should have that point of salvation. And that's where I experienced mine. I was 10 or 11. And so I was raised in this church, and doctrinally, it was off. I never spoke in tongues. I never handled snakes or anything like that. But part of the doctrine they taught was how you could lose your salvation. Never had eternal security. And I think that is truly a trick of the devil, that I was saved at that age, but I was useless to the Lord because I didn't know if I was saved. And how could you be any use of the Lord if you don't know your own salvation, not secure of your own salvation, because you're doubting it, or I was. So I was saved then. There were several years there. Went through my teenage years, started dating Tracy, started coming to church here. We got married and had the kids. I joined the Army for 3 years. I went away to Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Came back here and basically got a job at the post office pretty quick after that. But when I was dating my wife, I look at salvation as one point in my life. And then when I was dating my wife, I can remember coming and sitting back here, partway back here towards the back, and Preacher Lastly talking and challenging us to read our Bible every day. Don't take my word for it. See how man lines up against the Word of God. And that's one thing that I took away from that was, even in the church I was raised in, even though it was doctrinally wrong, I never doubted the Word of God was true. So I said, well, I can do that. And I started reading the Word, and settled all of the tongues and all that salvation and all that nonsense. It was wrong. And I found it, and the Lord just gave me security in my salvation and helped me grow. And it completely changed my life. You can ask my wife. It totally altered my life from that point on. Salvation was huge. And then when I got a daily walk with the Lord, it completely changed me. Just totally, it's just totally different person. Because when you put the Word of God in your heart, it just, the Lord can work and make a different person out of you. And I can remember as I was studying, I would say, Lord, show me the truth. Now, let me tell you something. If you're born again and you start reading your Bible and you ask the Lord to show you the truth, He'll show you the truth. You'll know. He'll show you the truth. So that brings me to that point. Served here at the church for several years and was in the Army Reserves at that time. And so had a lot of influence there. And the Lord has brought me to this point. And that's what I'm going to show you, some things that the makeup of who I am and how I got to this point, some of my thoughts, my philosophies, how I carry myself and act is based off of some of the things that I learned just growing. And the Lord is, no matter where you're at in your life, the Lord is preparing each of us for something. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in or what you're doing or where you're going. It doesn't matter marriage or whatever. The Lord is still preparing you for something if we'll allow Him to. Okay? So, and when a pastor called me, he asked me, he said, hey, would you care to do this? And I said, yes, sir. I've learned from Preacher Lastly that the pastor asked you to do something, you just need to do it. And I said, well, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. I said, may regret it, may never ask me again, but I'll do it. So, and at that time, I was doing my devotions. I was going through Exodus, and he was talking about leadership. And I was praying for the Lord to show me what to say and talk to. And as I was going through it, the Lord's like, this is it, this is it, this is it. Thinking about Moses is where I want to base some of these things off of my lesson tonight. And in 1 Corinthians, we're going to be in Exodus most of the night, but let me read you this verse. 1 Corinthians 10:11, it says, "Now these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come." So these things, he's talking about, these things are written for examples for us. Moses is an example. God has provided us great examples of leadership as we look at these things. How we should live, how we should handle things, how we should go about and carry ourselves. And that's the amazing thing about the Word of God. The Lord loves us so much. Not only did he die for us to give us home in heaven, but he also gives us the Word here. So if we'll look at it and study it and apply it to our lives, it'll help us in every area of our life. And then we're going to look at leadership, and I'm going to look at Moses specifically in leadership. Before I get to that part, I was going to show you some. You have to bear with me. It's been a minute since I've done PowerPoint, since I've in reserves. I did my last thing I did in Army Reserves, I was responsible for Birmingham South in Alabama for all the retention. That was the last time, and I didn't do one then. Actually, I had someone else do it. So hadn't got enough rank, and you let someone else do that. But I did a PowerPoint. So lessons learned. Let's see if I can get this to work. Am I going the right way, Jack? So these are some statements into my life that I've come across that has helped me. And especially a lot of this stuff has helped me. Or some of this stuff has come across this when I was in my military career. And they've taught me, and it applies. I've also seen where it applies in my life as a husband. It applies in my life as a father. It applies in my life as amongst friends. All these are great applications if you look at these, not necessarily just on the military side. Some of these is where I picked up, but there's great application. The first one is if you don't lead, someone will. At times in our lives, we hear about it in our society today. Well, why don't somebody do something? Why don't somebody do something? Well, it's probably our fault. Because if we don't lead, if I don't lead, someone else will. Okay? So that's one of the things that really impact me in my life and as far as growing in it. If I don't lead in my family, my wife will have to. If I don't lead my children will lead themselves. So we got that. This one here says, if you have to tell someone you're in charge, you're probably not. I had a master sergeant tell me that one time because I was about to be promoted. So that speaks for itself. The next one it says, and this one here is talking about communications. Bad news doesn't get better with time. My son and daughter has heard this over and over and over and over and over and over again. Don't wait to tell dad something bad. Go ahead and tell me now. Let's get this over with. And it also applies when I'm talking to Tracy too. It's best to go ahead and let Tracy know ahead of time. This is coming. Let's just go ahead and man up and face up to it. Bad news don't get better with time. But as part of leadership, we ought to be able to communicate and be able to handle those situations and just know those things. This one's going to be hard to read, especially for Ford Davis. Ford's not teaching, right? Amen. I got you, Ford. Ford always picked Bobby. Smile, you're next. So he's colorblind. He can't read this, and it is still hard to read. There are two things that kills a soldier's motivation fastest: rain and lack of information. And we can't do anything about the rain. I had a master sergeant tell me this. We were in Hawaii, and it was pouring down the rain. We were getting ready to mobilize, and then we were standing out in the rain. The command was inside talking to people, and I was a young E5 sergeant, and I had my squad, my team and things, and we were standing out there, and it was just awful. I mean, we'd been in the rain all day, and there was nothing dry about us. They were inside in the dry, and we were outside in the rain, and he come through, and this guy was a true American hero. I mean, they had sent some of these senior non-commissioned officer, senior NCOs to come train us, and he had actually left Delta Force. We had a Ranger guy and a Delta Forces guy and then another guy from the 82nd Airborne. So he was a true American hero. And he came up to me and he told me this. He said, there's, you know, two things that kill motivation: rain and lack of information. We can't do anything about rain. So it really, how it applies there is another part of communication is that there's some things that when whoever you're leading, it can motivation can be hurt, and there's some things you just can't do anything about it. You can't help it. But the things we can do about it, we need to do something about it. And everyone wants to know what's going on to be involved. My wife wants to know what I'm doing and planning and executing. My son wants to know what the family's doing, what's going on. The people that used to be in the reserves with, in the military with, they want to know. It's easier for people that you're leading if they know what's going on. Everyone wants to be involved. Everyone wants to be going on, know what's going on. I went the wrong way. Let's see. Okay. This one right here, as I'm about to get into the lesson, is a really special one to me. To be a good leader, you must be a good follower. And I got this quote from Preacher Lassie. This is a Lassieism. I got it from sitting right over there. When Preacher Lassie was telling us, if you want to be a good leader, you must be a good follower. And it's critical. And I was at that time, I was still a young Christian, still growing, and lots going on in my life. And the Lord really spoke me to that. And you think about who we're to follow. First off, we're to follow the Lord, follow His word, see what He'd have us to do, live for Him. And then next, we're to follow our pastor. Because that's in the order of the way things go. God's plan is for us to follow our pastor, to follow His leadership. And I was thinking about those things. His Preacher Lassie was talking about it. And he wasn't tooting his own horn trying to get somebody to follow him. Preacher Lassie is in that motto, that as I was saying, you know, if you have to tell someone you're in charge, you're probably not. He never had to tell anybody he was in charge because he was in charge. But it really spoke to me about being a good leader and being a good follower, that I needed to follow the Lord better and then follow my pastor. And I'm so thankful for the pastor the Lord has brought us here today. It's just been, it's amazing what He's done to get us here. And I think only the deacons probably really know the true depth of it, but it's just the hand of God that brought him here. There's no doubt in my mind. It's nothing that we did. And as the deacon chairman, when we were talking about these things and when it was coming close and pastor got here, I always tried to emphasize the Lord's been good to us. When someone would say something to me, oh, you guys do a great job. The Lord's been good to us. When we follow, give the Lord the credit for these things. But to be a good leader, you must be a good follower. And first, we must follow the Lord, follow our pastor, and then also whomever may be our leader, whether it's at work, or wherever it is, wherever we find ourselves in the situation where life we're at. Okay. If we begin to look at this, start this lesson, see if I can. Okay. So, the first thing as a leader, I think the Lord really taught me as we were going through this, is we must keep our eyes on the Lord. And so, when I think about that as the leader, how do we do that? How do we keep our eyes on the Lord? How do we follow the Lord? How do you focus on the Lord? And this is how I came about it, was a daily walk with Him, a daily devotion. You must be reading His word every day and praying to Him. And prayer, I have found, is a two-way street. If I'm really doing it right, the Lord, I can talk to the Lord, and the Lord speaks back to me, impresses upon me, gives me things from His word. So we have to have a daily walk. And then number two, I think you have to be seeking His face. And you say, well, isn't it the same thing as a daily devotion and walking with Him? Kind of. But when we were going through this transition time, I found myself truly seeking His face. In Psalm 145:18, it says, the Lord is nigh to them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. Then Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. Okay? So the first part of that in Psalms, it says, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon Him. So it says He's close when you call upon Him. The latter part of that other verse says, call upon Him while He's near. So if you call upon Him, He's going to be near. And then it says, seek Him while He may be found. So there's a difference in, I think, a daily devotion where we talk to the Lord, but actually desiring the Lord, desiring His help. And we must have that in our walk. And then also, we must be about, as a leader, keeping our eyes on the Lord. One of the ways we kept our eyes on the Lord in that time was being about our Father's business. The Lord's given us things to do, and we must be about His business. It's easier to keep your eyes on the Lord if you're going visiting, if you're teaching your Sunday school class, if you're driving your bus, if you're doing what you know you're supposed to be doing. It's easier to keep your eyes on the Lord. And as we look at this, biblical leaders must keep their eyes upon the Lord because the others are counting on us to do it. They're looking for us to do it. As you're in that leadership position, they're counting on us to do so, to keep to lead them. As we're leading, we need to be looking towards the Lord, but they're counting on us to do it as well. See, in Exodus 14, it talks about where Moses was bringing the people out. They were coming out, and they had came to, it's Exodus chapter 14, verse number 10 through 14, and it's where the people had come up to the Red Sea, and they were worried. They said, oh, you brought us out here to kill us. And then even Moses then was telling the people, he said, verse 13, he says, and Moses said unto the people, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show unto you this day. They were scared. They didn't know what was going on. And they were fearful. And they looked to their leader. And if Moses kept his eyes on the Lord, he was able to tell them, hey, look, don't worry about those people. Look to the Lord. He's going to show you. He's going to do great things in your lives today. Okay? And we as leaders, we need to be reminded of these things as we go through this, as we lead. Think about it, because at times we get so caught up in life and things and doing and going, I'm not always seeking the Lord. I'm not always doing what I should, but it's good to help us, to remind us to keep these things. And when we do those things, when we're reminded of them, we need to think about what the Lord's done for us, where He's brought us from, even in the hard times of life. And that was some difficult times that the church was going through at that time, and different things. And I'll be honest with you, I'll tell you now what I was going through at that time outside the church. My wife, they thought she was going blind. They were telling my daughter they thought she had cancer. They told her to come home from school, told her to get her stuff in order, she was going to die. My son was away from home. We were building a house. I was in Army Reserve, halfway doing that half of that state, working at the post office, and then this. There was a lot going on in my life. So I had to think about what the Lord had brought me through and brought me to in the past, to know that He was still going to be there for us. He was going to help us through those times, help us as a church, and help us as a family. And it affected my family as much as the church. I mean, it trickled all the way down, even into my family. We would do stuff here at church, and I'd have to go home and minister to my wife and minister to my daughter. My son was away, but I had to go home and minister to them, to help them through it, because it's a difficult time. But we're able to do these things in leadership if we keep our eyes on the Lord. So, and in His leadership, we must be keeping moving forward. I do not believe that one can remain stationary. I'm either moving forward or falling behind. If I stand still, the world doesn't stop. We must, as leaders, keep moving forward. Keep the ball rolling. Keep going. You can't, the option is to stop and say, I'm going to take a break right here. That is not an option. You have to keep going. You have to keep moving. Because the Lord's work doesn't stop. Even though we had all the stuff going on in our lives, and things happening, the Lord's work had to go on. I had to come in here. I didn't have to. I got to come in here and drive a bus for Joe Potter, and we picked up kids and brought them to church. The Lord's work has to go on, and we still have to keep going forward. And it's easy to go forward when things are good and everything's clicking, it's working right, everything's this. Man, it's going forward is a breeze. But going forward, we must keep going forward in the face of opposition, okay? And complaining is coming, as we see this, as I was reading this through my devotions, talking about in Exodus chapter. So Exodus 14, they go through the Red Sea, they're coming back, they got to the other side, they've sung the song of Moses, and then you get to Exodus chapter 15, they start complaining about having no water. It gets Exodus chapter 16, they start complaining about having no food. They get to Exodus chapter 17, they start complaining about no water. And they just saw all the miracles the Lord did back in Egypt, and they brought them through the Red Sea and destroyed the Egypt nation. And then they come across the next three chapters, we come across there. So they're complaining. And complaining is coming. And this is, listen, that comes, it doesn't matter what stage of leadership you're in. I don't care if you're just talking about your wife. I don't care if you're talking about your kids. It's coming, no matter what you do if you lead. But it's coming. But the Lord hears it all, as you see in Exodus chapter 16, there in verse 7, 9, and 12, it talks about how the Lord heard it. The Lord hears it. And the Lord knows what's going on. And I think this is a great point of where you can see Moses. The Bible talks about Moses being meek. And meekness, I was telling Pastor the day, I didn't completely understand what it was when he was talking about being meek, because it's strength under control. But they were chiding Moses, and you read those verses where they were complaining to Moses and bashing him, and Moses just took it. And Moses was a strong man. He had the authority. He could have called God to do something to these people. He'd just seen a wipe out the Egyptian army. So, but he took it because, and I think this is the point, and Pastor and I talked about it, meekness, a great example of meekness, is that he had the power to do something, but there was a greater cause ahead, and he took it. There was a greater cause ahead. So you have to focus on that greater cause at times when there's complaining coming. And to be honest, as leaders, we should listen to complaining, because there's a lot of truth to it, where it may be, it'll be good for us to listen, because it may be true, something that we're doing wrong. And as a leader, leaders can't make everyone happy all the time, and you shouldn't, because then you become a people pleaser, and that's not leading. Because then you just end up chasing your tail, trying to make everyone happy. So you got to keep moving forward in opposition. You got to keep moving forward when those that you're leading fail. So I was thinking of this, is looking at that, not necessarily the application wasn't necessarily to something that went on to church, but just in general, as I've been a military leader, I've had soldiers that didn't do what they were supposed to do, or, well, Summer's not here, some things that Summer wouldn't do. And then where she would, you know, that's a running joke in our house. They blame each other. But so there was things where people would fail us that were leading, okay? And it's going to happen. People are going to fail us. And we see in chapter 32 where this is where Moses come off the mountain and they sinned. It's when they made the molten calf and was worshiping, things like that. And when they sinned, he held them accountable. They killed several of the people that was involved and held them accountable. But he didn't give up on the people. And the ones that were leading, if they mess up, we shouldn't give up on them. We should hold them accountable. There should be some accountability to it. But we shouldn't give up on them, because we can also see later on when they were wandering in the wilderness that they sinned when they didn't go to the promised land, but the Lord didn't give up on them. He provided for them that whole time. They had food, their clothes didn't go, their feet didn't need feet and shoes and things like that. So he provided for them, even the Lord was holding them accountable, but he still provided for them, didn't give up on them. And we shouldn't, as leaders, we should keep moving forward. When people fail, don't let that hold us back. Keep us going forward. And then this next one is the best of men or men at best. We shouldn't, as leaders, expect, we should have high standards, but we shouldn't expect too much of people. And this my last point there was, you, the leader, are just as prone to fail someone. I've done some dumb stuff in my life. I'll be honest with you, I have. I've done some dumb stuff. And we as leaders, we have to keep going forward and keep that in mind, as the people we're leading, that we take that into heart and keep that in consideration, that the best of men are men at best. And then the next one is talking about keep others involved. I'm not a very good alliterator. All I could come up with was keep. So I'm going with that. So keep others involved. Learn to delegate. The Lord doesn't want you to do everything. Delegation is not necessarily throwing something away and you not doing it. There's a right way of doing things and a wrong way of doing things. But you don't, delegation, you got to learn to do it right. The Lord wants everyone to have part in his ministry. He doesn't expect you to do it all on your own. Because we see examples of that in Exodus chapter 35 where when he provided the people with the skills to make the tabernacle. When they each had their own part that they made and they developed and he did those things. God gave Moses the vision and the assignment to do it, but he provided workers to do it. So we can, and I can make very good examples of that, is that in that time of transition, he slipped out, but Bobby Brown was a great help to me. Wade Farmer was a great help to me. The whole plan of the search and the pastoral search thing was Wade Farmer. He developed all that. Lord gave him that. It wasn't anything that I did. I called Wade and I said, Wade, listen, if you give me a plan, my skills and my traits are, if I have a plan, military we call it an operator, you give me an operator, I can execute it. But I'm not a developer. Wade had that ability to do that. Bobby had the ability to communicate and to talk and those things like that. So use those people. Don't just take it on yourself. So I can do this. I got it. I don't need any help. I'm in charge. I know what I'm doing. But the Lord will equip those people to help you to do those tasks. And part of that delegation is you have to follow up on the work that they're assigned to do and then reward them for it. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 39, and read this verse here. This one, I sat and pondered on this one as I was preparing this lesson. The Lord really, I don't know that I'd ever seen it before I was doing reading this lesson or preparing this lesson. Exodus chapter 39, verse 43. So at this point, the Lord had given these men the ability to make these things, and it assigned them. Assigned a task. And in verse 43, it says, Moses looked upon all the work, and behold, they had done as the Lord had commanded, even so had they done it. So Moses had assigned it. He was responsible for it. But he also followed back up to make sure that it was done right. There has to be some accountability and following up after you delegate something down to people. You just don't throw it at them for lazy sake to do it. And then the latter part of that says, Moses blessed them. He encouraged them to help them with that along the way, okay? So we see that where he encouraged them. The next one is take counsel from others. I think this is another important part of being a leader, is being willing to ask help and talk to others. Find good, godly men that can help you with this and counsel. We see that in Exodus chapter 27, verse 14 through 17 is talking about Jethro, where Jethro comes in and talks to Moses and tells him these things. And he says, listen, you're taking too much on you. You're not getting, you need to get some help with this. You're doing too much on your own. So we need someone like that in our lives. And I don't even know if he remembers or not, but I called Joe Shaw and talked to Joe Shaw, and he told me one time on the phone, he's like, well, I explained to him what I was thinking. He's like, I don't know if you should do that, blah, blah, blah. And it was great wisdom, and I followed his advice. So, Joe, you're my Jethro. Everyone needs a Jethro in their life to help them counsel and things like that. So, got to hurry because Larry told me I got 4 minutes. So, keep obeying. It just simply boils down to this. As a leader, we just have to simply do what the Lord's told us to do. Do the known will of God. Even when you don't know what else to do, you just do the known will of God. We found ourselves in that position. I have found myself in that position lots of different times in our life, but as far as application to the church, we talked about it. Brother Scott, remember talking about, we'd do one thing, we'd go to the next one. We'd do one thing, we'd go to the next one. Lord, give us the guidance, we'd go here, and we'd go here, we'd go here, and now we're here. Just taking that, and the verse that helps us with that is Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I've taught that so many times in sixth grade to those boys and stuff, and I've held my Bible down here, show them it's a lamp to show you the way, and the Lord's not going to give you this. And I simply told them, I said, man, we're going to do that. That's how we're going to do this. And the encouraging thing about it was, even if you get to a point where you don't know and you still take that step, and I don't know this is the right one, but the Lord knew our hearts and guided around at different times and took us to the right one. The Lord knows your heart, even though if you do take that, not jump way ahead, but if you take that step in the right spirit, in the right attitude, the Lord will guide you to those things. The next point is, as I'm closing up here, is Satan doesn't put good desires in your heart. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So as a leader, we should also listen to our hearts, because if there's a good work put in your heart where the Lord wants you to do something, people walking up down this street don't think about running a bus. They don't think about that. But they put that desire in Brother Wade's heart to run a bus, so he runs a bus. You should listen to those things when the Lord puts those desires in your heart to follow after them. Just don't say, oh, I'm not going to do that. If it's something good and godly, I encourage you to do it, to follow after the Lord. And then I got two more thoughts, and we'll close. So my last thoughts is, you got, as a leader, we must continue to grow and continue to develop ourselves and be better. Whether it's reading books, education, and things like that, we must continue to grow and better ourselves in that, to better ourselves, to know what's going on, to help our families, to help our jobs, to help our employees. And then the last one, these last two are kind of random, so you just have to forgive me, that I have learned in this walk as far as leadership, fasting works. It works. It's not preached about, it's not talked about much, but I can tell you for a fact, fasting will move the hand of God. And when you get serious with the Lord in that area in our lives and we fast about things, the Lord will move and will show up and do some amazing things, but you have to be serious about it. And I think the Lord realizes that when our hearts are that serious that we fast. And it does work. It does work every time. So that's some lessons that I learned on leadership in this time. And then we'll pray and I'll let Pastor come on up here. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I pray that you use what I've said. Lord, you've known my heart. And I pray that you'll just bless now in the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name.
Hey, man, thank you, Brother Marty. Appreciate that. And what a joy to get to have these thoughts and biblical principles. And I hope that the Lord has given you some that you can take home with you, all of them for that matter, but specifically some. And we just want to, I have this great burden for, I'm thinking on some things that we can do better for men, what we can do to encourage one another and develop ourselves, because as he says, you never quit developing. I can tell you when God wants you to quit growing, he'll let you know, because you'll start going up there. And so when you start going, then he doesn't want you growing anymore. You'll be done. But up until then, he wants you to continue on. So what we're going to do is just a little different. I'm going to have, I'm just going to give you a little time to just let some of those things settle in. We're not going to have an official come forward invitation, but I am just going to have his bow in prayer. Or just not in prayer, but just Miss Carmen's back. Could you play for us just something? And but I am going to be down here. I never like to close a service without asking folks if they're not sure they're saved. I know everybody in this room, but there was a time when some of you were like me that everybody thought you were saved as well. And but you need to get it settled. So as she plays, I'm not going to. You can come forward, of course, to pray. But just as she plays through, why don't you just? If there's some things in there, maybe God picked up a thought or two in your heart. If you don't lead, somebody will. Simply do the known will of God. And then I'm going to ask you just to think through some of those things, and they play. And then we'll ask Brother Wade Farmer to come and close us in prayer, and then we'll be done. So let's just play together. Play there. Brother Wade. Thank you. I want to thank you for being here tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Wade. Many of the men work together, of course, through this transition process. And I want to clarify one thing before Wade comes. Marty made one statement. He said when he was talking about making one step and then doing the, and maybe you don't know if it's the right one, that he was talking about the steps, not the pastor that they got. Yes. He said, you know, you take a step, you don't know if it's the right one or not, but you got it. And I just wanted to clarify, he was talking about a particular step, not the pastor they got at the end of the step. So he didn't mean that at all. I'm just joking. So, Brother Wade, why don't you come, share a few things, and pray for us.
Before I pray, just on behalf of the deacons, as I was listening to Marty, and as we followed him and as the congregation followed him, the things he said up here is what he practiced as he led during that time. Those phrases, those words, they're innate in him. And he truly looked to the Lord as he led us. And those weren't just things, and Brent could tell you as well, but we can tell you as deacons, those weren't just things that were to help you get better. Those are things Marty practiced and he wanted to impart to you. And he truly listened to the Lord and followed the Lord and gave us direction. And he is a man that we could follow through a tough time because we knew he was walking with the Lord. So thank you, Marty. We appreciate that. And on behalf of the congregation, we're grateful for your leadership. So let's pray, men. Lord, I am grateful for the church home you've given me and for the opportunity to be part of it and to serve you, Lord, and for my salvation that came in this very room one Sunday night when Preacher Lashley preached and I went home and accepted you. And I thank you for that and I praise you for that. And to be one of your children, Lord, I just praise you. I thank you for how your hand has been upon this church and for our pastor and his family, Lord. I just ask now that you bless us the rest of this week. Help us to be in your word. Help us to want to be in church on Sunday to learn about you and to go out and spread your word and do the jobs you have given us. Bless this Equip series and this time, Lord. And we just thank you so much for all that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.